I want you to turn with me over to the book of Proverbs, and I want to read just a little bit here. And I tell you, I want you tonight to do the same thing that you've done night after night, is pay attention to the Word of God. Now, the Bible says to give the most earnest heed to the things that you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. Seeing that the angels receive the just recompense of reward for every transgression, he said, how shall ye escape if ye neglect so great salvation? All right. If God did not spare the angels that sin, but the Bible said he cast them down to hell and bound them in chains of darkness, reserved unto that great day of judgment and fire, then we know that he's not going to spare us. Is that right? All right, tonight we want to give the more earnest heed to these things that we hear, lest we go outside and then we want to remember them and God can't bring them back to our remembrance. But you know, the Bible says the Holy Ghost will bring to your remembrance whatsoever I taught you. Is that right?
Amen.
Now, if God doesn't teach anything, then the Holy Ghost can't bring it to your remembrance, because his job is to bring it to your remembrance. And so then, if you want God to bless you, then give the more earnest heed to the things you've heard, lest you let them slip. All right, we want to read from the book of Proverbs, and I want you tonight to, as I've said so many nights, remember this one thing, that the virtue is in the temple. And as I've said numbers of times, many people pressed in around Jesus, but there wasn't any of them that caused him to feel the anointing except the little woman that touched the hem of his garment.
Right.
And when the little woman got close to him, she was not looking at Jesus, but she was looking for that heavenly Father that he kept talking about, that spirit of power that he kept talking about, and she lifted her faith in the words that he spoke, and the words that he spoke, Jesus said, was spirit. And when her faith went up to God, then there came a virtue and an anointing out of that inner part of Christ, and it went through his blood genes and through the cells of his body. And as I said last night, that was when he declared that he felt the anointing. And tonight, if you feel the anointing of God, or I feel the anointing of God, there's only one way to do it, and that's to get in the mind of Jesus Christ, which is the Bible, the Word, and to get interested in it, to hunger and thirst after it, and desire it with all of our heart, and he'll never fail to come down. I've never seen it fail. So pay close attention to the Word tonight. Listen at it. Give the earnest heed to it tonight. And ask the little children not to move around no more than they have to tonight. Last night, they were real good. Night before last, they were terrible. And I hope tonight they'll be real good. So, the anointing was good last night. We didn't have any trouble. But night before last, I tell you, I had a time up here because, you know, when spirits move about out there, it's just like I stood up here and I was juggling in a wire with a light going on. And every time a spirit moves, it breaks your contact with drawing the virtue, and in the mind of Christ goes out, and I'm standing up here in the dark and don't know what to do. All right, then let's turn over to the book of Proverbs, and in the 16th chapter, let's begin with the first verse. It says, the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. How many of you know that? Somebody said, well, I thought the preparation of my heart was my own doings. It said, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. But the Lord weigheth the spirit. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his ways, way, but the Lord directed his step. All right, now, seeing here that the Lord prepares our heart, and the Lord is the one that directs our step, and it's not within man to do anything but just follow after the Lord. And the Bible said he's created the good, and he's created the evil, and he created the wicked for the day of judgment. Now, I've made it every bit. You know, it takes a long time to really go in and explain to you just what Christ was saying. But here in the book of Proverbs, the great man Solomon, he gives us some idea of what the blessings of Christ is and what the wisdom of God is here. And he tells us in the third verse here, he said, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And then he says a little farther down, he said, if thy ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's the seventh verse. Now then, I want to talk to you just a little bit tonight on the third verse here. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Now then, did you know that the reason that people of today have so much trouble with their thoughts is they don't have any Christian works? I said last night the reason their joy was gone was because their Christian work had gone off and left them. And it's the same thing here, that we fail to do the works of God, and when we fail to do the works of God, then the Bible tells us that our thoughts get scattered, and we can't control our thoughts. Our tongues run loose, if you don't want to talk to you about it. When people's thoughts begin to get scattered, then their tongue gets loose. You can also tell when people's thoughts are not established, because when you see a person with wandering thoughts, they've also got a loose tongue, tied in the middle and cut loose at both ends. Like I heard a preacher preaching one time, you know, he said you can always tell the trail of a serpent, said, because he leaves a crooked trail, and you can always tell when you meet the serpent because his tongue is always going just like that. How many of you ever seen a snake? His tongue just rattles all the time, and every style just goes all the time. All right, it says here, said, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Now, if we could learn the secret of established thoughts, then we would be men and women of faith. Did you know that?
Amen.
If we could learn the secret of established thoughts, then we'd be great people of faith, because the Bible says to ask God for anything that we desire, but to ask in faith without wavering.
Right.
For he that wavereth is like a ship that's out on the sea, that's just tossed to and fro by the waves and by the wind. And he says here, the secret of it all is to be able to control our thoughts. Did you know that when David of old was out on the hillside, and he was out there watching after the sheep, David was doing more than just herding sheep. Did you know that? David was singing and praying and making melody unto God within his heart. And while he was out on the hillside, he was learning to establish his thoughts that he might eliminate fear and become a man after God's own heart.
Amen.
So then, when we take time to meditate, when we take time to get away with God, and take time to pray and fast and study the Word, then we find that we become richer in God, because we find our thoughts become established, and we find that we're no longer tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but we find peace and happiness and joy and the long-suffering and kindness that God said would arise within our hearts. He said, if ye shall commit your works unto the Lord. David was out there on the hillside watching after the sheep, and David was meditating and talking to God, and David was establishing his thoughts. Israel was over yonder, over in another place, wandering around, deciding houses and lands and chariots and things of the world. And when the great testing time come, they were not able to win the battle because they had a wondering mind.
Right.
You know, man's mind is a wondering mind. But Christ's mind is an established mind. Did you know that in the Old Testament, he spoke and he said, I will give them the fruits of their thoughts. That's what he said, I'll give to them. I will give them the fruits of their thoughts. They shall eat the fruits of their thoughts. Did you know that people today are eating the fruits of their thoughts? And did you know that the people that's gone on in the years gone by, that they ate the fruit of their thoughts? And did you know if there's a generation to come that they're going to eat the fruit of their thoughts? All right. If that be true, then we see why it's necessary to have established thoughts. If God is going to feed us the fruits of our thoughts, or if my life is going to consist of what I think, then I need to get the thinking right. Is that right? If everything that I have in this life is going to be just what I think, then that means, I don't mean what I think up here in my head, but the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. He's just what he is according to his thinking down here. I might try to tell you I'm some great fellow, you know, with my head. And I might try to convince you I'm a lot of things with my head. But down deep in my heart, whatever I really truly believe that I am, that's what I am. Now, somebody said, well, that means if I believe I'm a millionaire, I'm a millionaire. Now, if you can really believe in your heart the same way a millionaire believes, you'll be a millionaire. Did you know that, you say, well, if I think of a millionaire, that makes me a millionaire. No, I don't do that. No. You say, well, I think of a doctor, I'm a doctor. No, it didn't say that. It said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. If you think in medical terms, that makes you a doctor. If you think the same thoughts the doctor thinks, that makes you a doctor. If you think the same thoughts the millionaire thinks, that'll make you a millionaire. If you don't believe it, try. You stay around the rich man all the time and learn all his gimmicks, and it won't be long before you, it'll rub off on you and you'll be making money too. And if you think the thoughts of a preacher, then that makes you a preacher. If you think the thoughts of a pauper, that makes you a pauper. And if you think the thoughts of a defeated person that's full of sickness and fears and frustration, that makes you a defeated individual that's full of fear and frustration, and you'll never triumph in God. Why is that? Because he said, I will feed them the fruits of their thoughts. They shall feed upon the fruits of their thoughts. Did you know that if you think about being sick all the time, you're going to be sick all the time. Did you know that? If you think about sickness, you're going to be sick. Did you know the first thing the devil does to you, he probes at you. He probes at you. He can't get into you if you're a child of God until he probes at you and breaks down your resistance on the outside. And what he does, he comes around and he oppresses you. And he probes at you. And he probes at you. He keeps on probing at you. Till after a while, he finds the weak spot. And you know, they got an old saying that everybody's got a weakness. But I want you to know that's an old saying. That's not a Bible. You know, everybody's got a weakness according to human beings. But there's no such thing in the Bible as that. We don't have to have any kind of weakness. The Bible said till we come to the fullness of the stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, and Christ never had a weakness. Amen. We don't have to have a weakness. Why? Because we're in the fullness of his stature. We have the mind of Christ. That's our goal in life. And we're ordained to be gods in this world, and we don't have to have a weakness. When the devil tells you that everybody's got a weakness, all he's trying to do is set up something in your heart to where he can cause a weakness. But I tell you, we don't have to have a weakness. All right. Now then, he said, commit thy works unto the Lord. If we want to think right, then we've got to work right. If we want to think right, we've got to do the right things. If I go down here and I sell whiskey to everybody that comes along, there's a good possibility that I'm going to think that I'm going to die and go to hell. Is that right? You say, well, a lot of people don't think that. Well, if they've ever heard the gospel, if they've got any good common sense, they think that. If I go out here and shoot a man, if I've got any kind of understanding, going to take me to the electric chair because that's what they said they'd do with me. So then, if I think on sickness, if the devil can come around and cause me to think about sickness, then that means I'm going to be sick. If he can ever get my thoughts into a channel to where he can spiritually bind them, then that's what I will become. Now then, when I come up here and I call you to pray for you, the thing that I'm trying to do is get the anointing of God to come down. And when the anointing of the Lord comes down, and it will come down if you use your feet, as I said here the other night, people have got the cart before the horse. They come wait for the anointing, so they believe. Paul said, we believe to see the anointing. We don't wait to see to believe, but we believe to see. That's the way the gospel is. If you don't believe first, you'll never see anything. It takes faith first to get down. Somebody said, well, I'm just waiting around to see what's going to happen. Well, why don't you put on your shoes and go home? Amen. You say, what kind of shoes? The preparation of the gospel. Go home. Go on home. Get right with God. Because if you come to see something, I said last night, a wicked, sinful, adulterous generation seeking after a sign. We come to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We came to hear God's word. That's why we're here. The Bible said they've made their faces as hard as an adamant stone. Did he say that? He said, son of man, prophesy, and don't fear the countenance, and don't fear the face. He said, well, they've made it as hard as an adamant stone. But said, I'll make yours harder. Did he say that? Amen. I've seen it set in my congregation when their faces was hard as an adamant stone. No spiritual reflexes, no faith, no nothing. All right, he said, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Hallelujah. All right. If my thoughts ever become thoughts of faith, I've got to do some kind of work.
Amen.
I've got to do some kind of work.
Right.
Somebody said, it ain't nothing but believe. Ain't nothing but believe. I said the other night, you can believe a lie and be damned. You can believe a lie and go to hell.
Right.
There's more to it than that.
Right.
So then I've got to establish my thoughts by my doings. By my doings, I've got to establish my thoughts. If my whole world is going to consist of what I think, if everything that I have while I'm walking in this life is according to my thinking, I've got to get my thoughts right. It's imperative that I get my thoughts right. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, it doesn't matter about our thoughts. The Bible said, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against God, bringing into captivity every thought through the obedience of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The trouble with the church world today is they never learn to control their thoughts. They need to get in and learn to control their thoughts.
Amen.
If they ever plan to have faith, they're going to have to get in and control their thoughts. It's going to take more than saying, Lord, Lord. It's going to take more than coming to church. It's going to take more than reading the Word. It's going to take some action for God.
Right.
Praise God. All right, he said, I'll give them the fruits of their thoughts. But he said, if they'll commit their works unto me, I'll establish their thoughts. I'll establish their thoughts. When Peter stepped overboard and he started walking on the water, and the Word of God spoke to his thoughts, and the Word said to Peter's thoughts, it said, Peter, come to me. And the Bible said, Peter, having his thoughts fastened upon the Word of God, he stepped overboard, and while his thoughts were established in the Word, he walked on the water. But the very minute that his thoughts began to waver, and his thoughts began to look down at the waves, the very minute that he took his thoughts off the Word, he began to sink.
Right.
He began to sink.
Right.
I promise that if you ever learn the secret of establishing your thoughts, you'll be successful in God. This is one scripture that God spoke to me many years ago. I was having a hard time. And I couldn't seem to do nothing, and God said, it's your thoughts. He said, it's your thoughts. He said, if you will just think right, he said, things will be right. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, I tried to think right. I didn't stay with your head. I told you a while ago. You can think anything up here in your head. But I'm talking about in your heart. I can convince my head of anything. But the thing is, I'm speaking of your heart. as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. He needs to get right in his heart. He needs to think right in his heart. He has to do something to persuade his heart that he might be able to have established thoughts. You got to get something down in here, folks. It takes an establishing down here. It takes a moving of God down in here. Just to try to tell yourself something's not good enough. You've got to have your thoughts right in your heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. It's with the heart that man learns to believe. It's with the heart that faith comes up. It's with the heart that we believe to righteousness. So then we've got to do something about our subconscious thinking. But you know, the average church member of today lives in a dread. They live in expectation. You say, how do you know? Why? Because I go around. And the spirits are full of lust, it's full of envy, it's full of hatred, it's full of malice, it's full of covetousness. And I see their spirits are weak and weary because they have a continual dread before them all the time. They're continually dreading. They're expecting the worst. They're expecting the worst. They say, God, I love you, and God, I want to serve you, but deep down in their subconscious mind, they're expecting the worst. Is that right? They're expecting Satan to rob them of their sanity. They're expecting Satan to rob them of their loved ones. They're expecting Satan to take that which God has given to them. Rob them of them. They have that deep subconscious expectation. You say, what is that? That's their belief. That's their thinking. That's what they are, and that's what they'll continue to be. As long as they have that dread, and as long as they have that fear, as long as they have that continual expectation of the worst that's going to happen to them. Because he said, I'll feed them the fruits of their thoughts. I will feed them the fruits of their thoughts. Yes. Hallelujah. All right. Praise the Lord. Now I say, well, Brother Pike already know that. Well, I'm not talking to you that already know that. You know, you always have somebody in the congregation that already knows all of this. So when I preach the gospel, I'm not preaching to them that already know this. I'm talking to them that don't know it. Amen. Jesus sent me to preach to them that don't know it. Now then, Peter said, even though you know these things, I feel it meet to stir in your mind while I'm in the tabernacle.
Amen.
But the thing is, if you know them, that's your business. If you don't want to listen, that's your business. But I'm here to preach the gospel to them that don't know it. To tell them of Jesus Christ. And to tell them of the love of God that they might be able to have established thoughts and believe and have the things that God has in store for them. Somebody said, well, what good is established thoughts? What good is established thoughts? Have you ever been fearful? Have you ever been tormented? Have you ever been depressed and down in the valley to where you couldn't get out? Where you would give your right arm if you could just get your thoughts to believe and be satisfied in God that everything was going to work out right for you? If you never have been along there, then you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you've ever experienced the things that I'm speaking of, then you know what I'm talking about. I believe that we're going to have to cast down imagination. That's one thing that God said to cast down. If we ever get anywhere with God, we're going to have to get rid of our wild imagination. Right. Somebody come to me not too long ago, and they said, Brother Pike, said, do you think it's wrong to sit around and watch, or for the children to sit around and watch television? I said, well, what are you talking about? They said, well, just the little comics and the little things, you know, that they have on television. It's harmless and those kind of things. I said, well, according to my understanding, the Bible said to cast down imagination. And I said, that's wild imagination. It came from some sinner's carnal mind out in Hollywood or somewhere else. And it's wild imagination. And I said, the Bible said it's innocent with God. And he don't want it. So it's not as innocent as you think it is. It's wild imagination and it's the devil's work. And I've said this and I still say it. A man that will let his children watch any such thing needs to be born again.
Amen.
That might have hurt, but I want to say it again. I said the other night, the truth is worth repeating. If you let your children do it, you'll need to be born again. It's proof that you've never been born again. Somebody said, now you wait a minute, preacher. I said, that's proof that you've never been born again. Amen. The nature of Jesus. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. What are you talking about? I'm talking about thoughts being established. Thoughts being established. Amen. All right, he said, I will feed them the thoughts, the fruits of their thoughts. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Jesus thought deep down in his heart that he was the Son of God, and he was the Son of God. I said, well, if I could just think I'm God on the inside, then I'll be God. I'll tell you how strong it is. The Bible said Satan set his mind as God. The Bible said Satan set his mind, the scripture said, that he set his mind as God. And you know what God said about him? He said, because thou hast set thy mind as God. He said, nothing shall be hid from thee. He said, thou art wiser than Daniel, because you set your mind as God. Didn't he say that? He said, but though thou climbest up to heaven and make thy nest among the stars, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. How powerful is it? Because Satan set his mind as God, what can he do? He's troubling an entire world. Because he set his mind as God, it caused him to believe that he was God. He believes that he's God. And he became God of this world. That's right, the Bible says he's the prince of this world. Jesus acknowledged it. Because faith caused him to believe that he was. And so he was. We see then how powerful it really is. If Satan himself set his mind as God, and because he set his mind as God, he's able to work miracles and signs and wonders. Then it's no wonder to me that the half backslidden preachers of this age is able to work signs and wonders and miracles. It's no wonder to me that he said some would be able to crawl far down from heaven. Why? Because they've set their mind as God. You talk to them and they'll tell you that they're a son of God. They've set their mind to believe they're all right. How did they do it? The Bible says that his spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons and daughters of God. Amen. In the day of grace, God is pouring out of his spirit upon all flesh, whether it's a drunkard, whether it's a harlot, whatever it be. And because they feel that spirit, they've convinced themselves by the word, faith in the word, that everything is right between them and God, and their faith works. Miracles. Is that right? You say, I don't believe that, Brother Pike. All right, then tell me this. Did God or did he not say that Balaam loved the wages of unrighteousness? Did he say that?
Amen.
But did not the king say, Balaam, whoever you bless is blessed, and whoever you curse is cursed? Did he do it? Was Balaam able to work miracles? Was he able to do it? Why, he does more than the whole church world put together almost, or he in his day. The Bible said he could fall into a trance with his eyes open and just see the heavens. Did he do it? Sure, but the Bible said he loved the wages of unrighteousness. I tell you something tonight, folks, it's a good thing for the heart to be established, the Bible said. Not carried about by every wind of doctrine, not carried about by signs and wonders. I preached last night not to put your faith in signs and wonders and miracles, but place it in the Word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Signs, wonders, and miracles will deceive you, but God's Word will not deceive you.
Right.
Hallelujah. You believe it?
Right.
All right. He said in the third verse, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established.
Amen.
They shall be established. If you've got fear tonight, your thoughts are not established. If you've got worries tonight, your thoughts are not established. If you've got a deep embedded expectation in your subconscious mind that something's going wrong, your thoughts are not established. That's where the trouble is. David said, I sought the Lord and he delivered me. I sought the Lord and he delivered me. Isn't that what he said? I sought the Lord and he delivered me from all of my fears. God has given us all things that pertain unto life. And he said, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are the called according to his purpose. Now then, I said last night, the reason the joy of the Lord wasn't in our hearts, because our thoughts wasn't established. Because we haven't done any works. Why? It says here, commit thy works unto the Lord. Commit thy works unto the Lord. Somebody said, but I gave you my wages. He said, thy works unto the Lord. They said, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, there's some works. Commit thy works unto the Lord. What kinds of works? All right, he said, put away from you all gesturing. Did he say that? That's part of works. Don't be joking. Don't be cracking little jokes, you know. Little things that's supposed to be cute. He said, put that away from you. That's the works of God. Didn't he do that? A lot of us, we wouldn't do nothing. Wouldn't do nothing that we feel was wrong, but we'll get in a crowd and crack a little filthy joke, or hear somebody else crack a little filthy joke, and we'll just laugh and laugh and laugh. Why? Because our thoughts are not established. That's lie. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike, establish? Establish in the Word. Where else could you establish it? Where else could you establish him? Like I said, I was preaching out yonder in California, and I was telling a brother in the Lord, I said, or sister in the Lord, I said, sister, obey your husband. I said, you can't get to heaven no other way. I said, the wife can't be saved except through the husband, because the Bible said he's the Savior of the body. He's the head and you're the members. I said, the only way you can get in, the essence of it was that just as we're translated into oneness with Christ, you've got to be translated into oneness with him. That's the only way to get into heaven. And so then she didn't like it, and she rose up against it. But it wasn't long before a little boy fell right on his face and went crazy. He wasn't a little boy. He was a great big boy, about 13, 14 years old. He fell down and went crazy. He lost his mind right there in the living room. And she began to cry, and the man, he was going wild. He didn't know what to do. He went over and got the little boy. I saw what God was doing. God was confirming his word. He wanted his word to be received, and he confirmed it right there. I went over and laid my hands on the little boy, and I prayed. The little boy shook himself, and he still talking crazy. And he went over and sat down in the chair, and they couldn't figure out what had happened to him. He just went completely crazy. So he went over and he sat down in the chair, and I said, "That is half faith." I said, "Just don't doubt. Just half faith. God's done something." So it was a little while, and after that, everything just went away. And the little boy said, "Where am I at? Where am I at? Where am I at? Mama, Daddy, where am I at? What happened? And God confirmed his word. I was saying to them that they had to live right, had to have established thoughts in the word of God. And I said, the wife has to be saved through the husband. I said, the wife has to be saved through the husband. You know what kind of answer I got out of the man? He looked over at my wife and he said, Sister Ben, said, don't you know he's just using that to keep you under control? I looked back at it and I said, why, sure, that's what I'm using it for. I said, you ever tried to keep a woman under control without the word of God? I said, if you never have, you try it sometime. That's why we do it, is to get her under control. I'd love to see you keep her under control without it. You try it on your own sometimes and see where you wind up. I said, why, sure. Well, he didn't know what to say when he looked at me, you know, and I answered him like that. But it wasn't long before this man got his thoughts established. He went all the way from California down to the river, down Rio Grande River, right to the side of Mexico, to wash away his sins in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to get his thoughts established in the Word. And today, he comes almost with a regularity to see us. He come up the other day and he couldn't find his home. Why? Because he got his thoughts established. And he's happy. He's found something. He's got his wife under control, something he never could do. But he learned to establish his thoughts in the Word of God. I say again, as Peter walked on the water, as long as Peter's thoughts was established in the Word that said, come to me, Peter, he was all right. But brother, when he got his mind off of that, he had trouble. When David come out from on that hillside and he faced that giant, he had established thoughts. You believe he did? While Israel was so fearful and Saul was so fearful, his thoughts was up there jumping up and down like Mexican jumping feet. Saul was so afraid that he couldn't do anything. He looked at the giant and he said, well, we're just defeated. That's all it is to it. And Israel over here, David went over there and talked with him, and Israel said, we just can't do it. Why, we just can't do it? And David didn't understand why they couldn't do it. Did you know a man that's got faith, he don't understand why you can't get rid of cancer? Why you take a man to God? You go up to Elijah, if Elijah was here today, up to Peter, James, and John, and tell them, well, we just don't see how we can get rid of this cancer. And you know what they'd say? They'd say, well, your thoughts need to be established. Why, you never heard about the Word of God and faith in the Word of God, established thoughts in the Word of God? So he said, here Solomon said, establish your thoughts. Well, what did he do for him? It made him a rich man. It made him the wisest man that ever walked the earth because he had established thoughts. He had established thoughts. What is established thoughts? Established thoughts are not wandering thoughts. Not wandering thoughts. You know, the Bible speaks of wandering spirits. They wander through dry places seeking rest and can't find it. Did you know the church world today as a whole is wandering through dry places seeking rest and can't find it?
Right.
But did you know the Bible said there is water, wells of water, rivers of water, that's present that God will give you to drink of if you'll get your thoughts established?
Amen.
You believe that He'll do it?
Amen.
There is water. There is wells of water. There are rivers of water. Hallelujah, that we can have them. So then he said, I will feed them the fruits of their thoughts. I will let them eat the fruits of their thoughts. I want you to ask yourself this question tonight. I want you to say, Lord, what am I subconsciously thinking right now? What am I subconsciously expecting right now? Where is my thoughts tonight? You know, the Bible said he that hath no control over his spirit is like a city with a broken down wall.
Right.
The Bible said the children of this world, Satan takes them into captivity at his will. Where is your thoughts tonight? Where are they at tonight? Are they wondering? Well, I can look at some of the little children and tell them they're on bubble gum. Well, you say, hey, it's a good thing you're talking about little children. Well, there's grown-ups in worse condition about what they got their minds on. Where is your thoughts tonight? Is it on God's Word? Is it on God's Word? Is it concerned about the things of God? If it's not, friend, there's something wrong.
Amen.
So you say, well, I got my mind on my job. Well, that's why you're failing God. I got my mind on my house. Did you know there's people that will be building a house out here, and they'll come to church, and the whole time the church service is going on and the preacher is preaching, they're over there figuring out how they're going to put the framework together. That's true.
Amen.
Some of them will have a fuss with their wife and the whole time the service is going on, they're sitting back there with bitterness in their heart trying to figure out whether he's right or she's right or whether they ought to do it or not do it. And the whole service passes them by.
Right. Amen.
And other folks have similar things. Some people sit around and they begin to think of how smart they are and how smart the preacher ain't, you know, how much they know and how much he don't know, and they out-measure themselves and lose the blessing of the service and go away without anything. They wasn't so smart after all, although they was not smart themselves. Yes, one of the Bible said God chose the foolish and the base things of the world to confound the wise.
Amen.
Confound the wise. A lot of times I've noticed we give altar call, you know, and somebody will sit back on the bench. And they're so smart and so wise and so full of understanding that they figured out how to get around all of it and it wasn't much to it anyway. And then God looks down, the Bible said the wisdom of this world is foolishness of God, so he said, there's a fool. There's a fool. You see, some little foolish person over here that said, well, I don't know what it's all about, but glory to God, I want it. I want somebody to do something for me. He said, there's somebody with wisdom over there.
Right.
So you see, God doesn't look at things the way we look at it, does he? He said, for our thoughts to be established, folks. Our thoughts need to be established. Hallelujah. When we get to the place to where we can have established thoughts, God will do something for us. I want to remind you again that you will eat the fruits of your thoughts. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. You're going to eat the fruits of your thoughts. It doesn't make any difference what it is. You're going to eat the fruits of it. If you go around expecting something to happen to you subconsciously, you might as well get prepared because it's going to happen. Did you know the one thing that happened to Job? The Bible said that he looked all the time for God to do something bad to him. The whole time of Job's life, he expected something to go wrong. That's right, he had a fear. He even confessed it. He said, I just had a fear that something bad was going to come out one day because God was looking down on me and because of the sinful flesh and because of the surroundings around me. I just had a fear someday he'd turn his wrath on me. Did he do it? Did he do it? He turned his wrath on me. He said, the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. Didn't he say that?
Amen.
Why, it was his subconscious expectation. Job was a righteous man. Being a righteous man don't keep you from eating the fruit of your thoughts, folks. He was a righteous man, but subconsciously, Job had a fear. You say, Brother Pike, why didn't Job have a fear in the first place? You want me to tell you why? Because he had some wicked, wretched youngins. He had some wicked, wretched youngins, and every day of his life he went to offer sacrifice and atonement for those youngins. And he just had a feeling that someday God wasn't going to put up with that mess. That someday he's going to pour out his wrath on them youngins on there. And when you touch a man's youngins, you might as well take everything he's got. You don't touch the apple of his eye anyway. That's just exactly the reason that God let Satan come down against Job like he did. He said, I've got to do something about those children. And as long as they were young, God could take care of them through the prayers of Job. But when they got old enough, they had to answer for their own sins. God had to deal with them. And God knew that if he touched the youngins, if he'd done anything to the children, he knew it wasn't nothing else that he could touch of Job that would be any worse. So he figured if he's going to touch the apple of his eye to begin with, that he'd just go ahead and do away with all that Job had and really put it through the mill and then drive the devil away from Job once and for all. You believe that? You believe that's right?
Amen.
That's right. He knew that if he touched those children, that was the apple of Job's eye. And if he had to come and do that, it was going to break Job's heart. You know, it don't make no difference how perfect you are. If your youngins is wretched, God's going to get a hold of them. He's going to get a hold of mine. He's going to get a hold of yours. And I went to pray for a woman one time. And she was over in the bed. She was sick. She was pining, moping, and just dying. She was in bad condition. And I went to talk with her, and God spoke to my heart. And when I went to pray for the woman, I said, Sister, you want me to tell you what's wrong with you? Well, of course she did, you know. She was there in the bed dying. I said, you are upset with God because he won't save your wretched children and your wretched relatives and you're finally falling with God and bringing yourself to death. You say, did you tell a woman something like that? I told her. I said, of all the absurd things for a person to do, you lay there in the bed dying because you want in God to save somebody that's got birth sin. When you're trampling the blood of Jesus Christ under their feet, doing everything contrary to the word of God, going on in sin, and you still demand that God save them, or are you going to read yourself to death? You know what? We prayed for the woman. She got up out of bed, and she was all right. You know why? She got her thoughts established.
Hallelujah.
She got her thoughts established. She needs somebody to establish her thoughts.
Amen.
She reasoned with me. And she admitted that she didn't realize what she was doing. Did you know some people pine and mope and go around and blame God and find fault with God and literally kill themselves spiritually and physically because God won't save somebody out yonder that's just trampling on the blood of Jesus Christ and doesn't care anything about God? I'm going to tell you something, folks. I love my youngins. God knows I love my children. But I told God this one thing and I still stand by it. I may have to look at one of them in a casket. I may have to do it. I hope I don't do it. I may have to do it. Job had to do it. He was a perfect man, but he had to do it. But I told God one thing. I said, Lord, save my children at any cost. I said, but Lord, I don't ask his soul above anybody else's. I said, I don't ask you to do something special for him you wouldn't do for nobody else. I said, because that ain't fair. That ain't right. I said, I know you got to deal with this man as a sinner out here, and if my youngins won't hear the word of God when I preach it to them, I said, you got to deal with them the same way. I went to another woman. She was sitting in the chair. I went into the house, and she was bawling. She was broken up. They had the doctor. The doctor couldn't do nothing with her. She was in a fix. And her family didn't know what to do. The man that had been watching her life for years, he was completely bewildered. He was a son-in-law. He said, Brother Pike said, this is the thing that I don't understand. He said, this is the thing that hinders me in trying to live a Christian life. He said, this lady has been living a Christian life for many, many years. And said, now look at her. Look at her. And you can imagine how he felt. He said, now will you give me an answer? Well, how could I answer him? I didn't know what to answer to unless God spoke to me. Well, I couldn't figure it out. The doctors had been out there, and the family had done everything they could. The woman was still sitting there, just crying and staring off into space. I walked in, and I took a look at her, and I didn't know what to say, and I didn't know what to do. They'd done everything they knew to do. And as I started over toward her, God spoke to my heart. And then I walked over to her, and I took a look at her. And I said, "Sister, you want me to tell you what's wrong with you?" "Oh, yes, Brother. Yes, Brother." I said, "You lost your faith." I said, "I'm going to pray for it. I want you to get up from that." I prayed the prayer of faith, and God be witness to it. It was, I believe, the very next night that the woman came to church and sat and played the piano for us. Then went off to Atlanta, Georgia, from wherever the city was in, to visit with her sister. She had done nothing but lost her faith. What was the matter with her? Has she needed her thoughts established, folks? She had let the devil uproot her thoughts and cause her thoughts to get bewildered and start wandering. That's where fear comes from. That's where trouble comes from. Will you stand with me? I know this has been more of a teaching tonight, but I hope you've gotten something out of it. He said, "I will give you the fruits of your thoughts. Ye shall eat the fruits of your thoughts." I want to say again, you don't get this idea about what I preach tonight. You say, "Well, if I believe I'm a millionaire, that'll make me a millionaire. If I believe I'm a doctor, that'll make me a doctor. If I believe I'm an old Roberts, that'll make me an old Roberts. If I believe I'm a William Branham, that'll make me a William Branham." No, it won't. No, it'll just make you a fool. That's what it'll make you. The Bible said you can believe a lie and be damned. It'll just make you a fool. That's all.
Right.
But the Bible said, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is." If you can get to the place to where you think the same thoughts that doctor thinks, the same medical terminology of thoughts, you'll be a doctor. If you can think the same identical thoughts as old Roberts thinks, you'll be old Roberts. If you can think the same thoughts that Elijah thought, you can be the Elijah of our day. If you can think the same thoughts that Jesus Christ thought, you can become one with God. A woman's place is to learn to think the same thoughts that her husband thinks. Until she becomes translated into oneness with him. That's right. We are ordained to learn to think the same thoughts that God thinks until we become translated into him. If we can get our thoughts established in this word, the Bible said we'll have the mind of Christ. How many would love to think the thoughts of God? The mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. This is the thought of the mind of Christ. If I can think the thoughts of the mind of Christ, I can do the same thing that Christ does. You believe it? If Christ cast out devils by thinking these thoughts, I can cast out devils by thinking these thoughts. If Christ gave sight to the blind and raised up the crippled and unstopped the deaf ears by thinking these thoughts, I can do it if I think these thoughts. Amen. I see Brother Howard shaking his head in agreement. Whatever you think, that's what you are. Whatever you think. I want to read this word. I want to say this again tonight. I made mention last night that every great man of God I ever seen was a Bible scholar. I told how that old Robert said he had read this New Testament through alone over 100 times. No telling how many hours of study. We've got one man that I know of. The last time I had contact with him was many years ago. And at that time, he had 100,000 hours in Bible study. And I made mention how that Brother Gale Jackson, they say when he comes to town, it's just like a return to Pentecost. So many people get the Holy Ghost. I heard him many years ago make the statement. He said, "I used my Bible. Said I've laid on my face and go out and get the Bible on the floor." Why? He learned to think these thoughts, folks. He learned to think these thoughts. Satan learned to think the thoughts of God. Did you know that? You say, "I don't believe that, Brother Mike." Satan got his power from thinking the thoughts of God. Y'all been prove it to him. He took Jesus up on a mountain, took him up on a pinnacle in the city, and he used the mind of Christ against him. Did he do it? He said, "Cast yourself down from here." He said, "For it is written." Is that what he said? "That he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and they shall bind thee up in all of thy ways, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone." He took it out of its original sense.
He took it away from the anointing of life. It's become words of death.
The letter killeth without the Spirit. The letter killeth without the Spirit. But you know what? Jesus did not deny it, did he? Did he deny it? No, but he looked back and he said, but Satan, it is all so good. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Oh, hallelujah. I feel his presence, don't you? He must be in agreement with what I'm saying. Hallelujah. He must be in agreement. That's why the Lord said to Satan, he said, because thou hast set thy mind as God, thou art wiser than thou. He was able to do great things. All right, this is going to be shouting tonight to somebody, but I want you to hear it. When the sons of God came to present themselves before God, Satan came also. Right. Today I'm in your big tent, in your big cathedrals around the world today, in your great campaigns and revivals and crusades, Satan is presenting himself. You know what he's doing? The ministers of Satan all said, be therefore transformed by the renewal of your mind. They are renewing their minds with the Word. And by transformation, they are transforming their minds into the Word mind. Without the garment of righteousness. Without the garment of righteousness. Which is the width garment of the saints. Transforming themselves into ministers of the Word of life. Is that right? They can minister life to you. And they do it. And they are working miracles and signs and wonders.
Amen.
They are doing it. What is it? He said, thou hast set thy mind as God's, Satan. You're wiser than Daniel. Did he say it? And they're doing things for thee in which we're living. That's right. But what did he say? He said, a wicked, a sinful, and an adulterous generation seeketh after the sign. But he said, the children of God seeketh after the Word.
Amen.
Seeking after the Word. He said the signs would follow them that believe, not them that follow the signs. He said that these signs shall follow them. So then, I want to conclude tonight by saying this. These men, they are the body of the beast, and they are the body of Satan, working these great miracles and signs, not real miracles, not real signs, but lying signs and wonders. Around the world by transforming themselves into ministers of the light. They came to present themselves also. They made the mind of the mind of Christ in the day of grace when nothing is required except grace. You say, for the pipe, you just preach to us that we are to commit our works unto the Lord. You are to commit your works unto the Lord, and he'll establish your thoughts in heaven, folks. But these other people are not doing any works of God. They're not committing any works of righteousness unto God. You say, well, Brother Pike, how can they get into these great revivals? How many of you know this great revival is the supper of the Lord? How many of you know that? This is the spiritual supper. All of the church world that was invited didn't come, did they? So it rejected the denominations that sit out in the highways and hedges and got the non-denominational, did they? Got the drunkard, the harlot, and the sick. Brought him in the lane and he's healing them. They're coming into the supper because it's the evening time of life. Is that right? Sure, this is the supper. That's where we're preaching Jesus' name for the wedding. You say, can people actually get into this supper? Can they actually climb up into heaven any other way? Brother Pike, is there actually another way that you can get into heaven? The Bible said they did. The Bible said that if you climb up another way, there must be another way. Jesus said, I'm the way, which is the Word, and by translation of your thoughts, you get into His Spirit and get the translation of life.
Oh, where could I?
But He said there is another way. He said, if you climb up the other way, the same as the thief and the robber. Did He say that? Did they really get in? The Bible says they came into the supper. And he looked at him and he said, friend, how is it that you came here? How did you get in here? Without the wind, God. Without the wind, God. That's why I said, commit thy works unto the Lord. See, they got in. But they drank, they smoked, they reveled, they watched
filthy things and the movies and televisions and magazines and everything else. He said, how is it you got in here without a wedding garment? What is the wedding garment? He said, the righteousness of the saints. It's their works I will reward every man according to his works of me. Said their garment is their works of righteousness. They got in. What did he say to them? He said, bind them hand and feet and cast them into the outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and wailing as I shall be. Then he said, all friend, there's people that's getting bound such as they've never got bound before in their life. They're getting bound with cancer and bound with TB and bound with paralysis and bound with spiritual powers, bound with fears and bound with insanity and bound with hatred and bound with bitterness and bound with covetousness and desire of worldly things. They're getting bound hand and feet, and they're cast out of this mind and world of life, of the mind of God, into the outer darkness of the carnal mind of lust. That's right. And they're wandering through dry places seeking rest, and they can't find it. Hallelujah. While they're singing, I wonder tonight, is somebody here who'd love to be prayed for?